Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua. Praise the Lord Jesus. This is the Great Joy in Great Tribulation Internet Podcasting Network. This is your host, Jim Searcy, reminding you the website for the Great Joy in Great Tribulation website is www.dccsa, that's David Charlie Charlie Sam Alpha, .com/ Great Joy, all one word, all small letters, GREATJOY. At the website, you'll find many things to help the saints scattered abroad build up their most holy faith and grow from faith to faith as we press into this mystery of the ages in this Antichrist war on the saints, reminding you that the King is coming. And our King said, when you see these things come to pass, look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua. Well, sometimes we're given words that are difficult words for many people to receive, and it's kind of a sign of the times, because the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. There's a time coming, and we know in the last days that there's going to be a great falling away from the faith. And what that means is that the majority opinions regarding various essential doctrines will become heretical. And it's very important that we understand that the Bible makes a very clear distinction between heresy and damnable heresy. Heresy, in any form, is a self-chosen belief in opposition to the Holy Scriptures. And that self, the idea that it is a self-chosen belief which opposes the Word of God, that word self is the key word in the identification of heresy and heretics. The Holy Bible makes a very clear distinction between simple, uninformed, or ignorant heretics and damnable heretics. And we should know that before God did provide Himself a Lamb, before the Father sent the Son to be the Lamb of God, to take away the sins of the world, the Torah called for the death penalty for certain serious violations of the law of God. And the reason for this necessity, before the coming of the kingdom of God in the person of Yeshua the Messiah, was that there was simply no other way that the curses associated with serious violations of the law of God could be broken or limited. And that was the only way to limit the extent of the curse that came as a result of certain serious violations of the law of God. Demonic license was gained through certain serious transgressions of the law of God. And the demonic host gained a legal right to destroy the people of God. Through the power of the blood of Messiah, the Lamb of God, however, who was manifested to destroy the works of the devil, when he came as the prophesied Lamb of God, all curses, because of his great victory, all curses may now be broken. But before Messiah came, before the Lamb of God did destroy the works of the devil, there was a need and a necessity for the death penalty to limit the extent of the curses which were turned loose. But now, since Messiah, all curses can be broken. And so the need for the death penalty for such things as gross sexual sin, false teachers, false prophets, witches, the need for the death penalty is no longer required. Their foot will slip in due time. Yes, their foot will slide in due time, and their time is getting very short. It should be understood that if a heresy becomes accepted by the majority, as being a true belief, that does not stop the heresy from being heresy. And that's why the understanding of heresy and how it should be dealt with by the faithful remnant in the last days, when the heresy is going to be the majority opinion, the vast majority will hold heretical opinions and heretical beliefs. And that's why the faithful remnant needs to know how the Bible says we deal with these things. In the last days, we do know that the days will be marked by a worldwide famine for hearing the Word of God. The last days of the Antichrist war on the saints is to be marked by a great apostasy, a great falling away from the faith. And that means heresy will be the majority belief, and the majority will depart from the faith. These things do cause us to mourn, and yet we know that these things must come to pass, for it is written in a more sure word in the King James Version Holy Bible. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And the man of God in this time is also instructed by the Word of God to be holding fast the faithful word, as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. And then we know in this time that wicked shall be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned, who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. I hope you can see that heresy will be a hallmark of the times. In fact, God is even going to send a strong delusion that people will believe heresies, believe lies, because they believe not the truth. They don't love the truth, because they have pleasure in unrighteousness. So we see God is even going to send strong delusion to increase those who are heretic. And this is why we have to be aware of this. This is why we need to know these things. Even though these are hard words, we have to know about it, because we don't want to be overtaken in this. Self-chosen beliefs that contradict or deny God's inspired revelations contained and easily confirmed by the more sure word of the Holy Bible is the basis of defining heresy. The heretics oppose themselves by self-chosen beliefs in opposition to the Word of God. Often the heresy of the heretic may be the result of never having read the Holy Bible, or never having been taught correctly, or being taught to believe error by some false teacher. And such simple heretics, when confronted with the truth of the Scripture, may be led by the Spirit of Truth and Holiness to put aside their false beliefs in preference to the truth of the Word of God. However, when the heretic is given the first admonition, often the demonic characteristics associated with many heresies will manifest. That demon spirit may be a spirit of rebellion. It may be a religious spirit, in addition to the spirits of pride and envy. And after the second admonition, the heretic, yes, even the simple heretic, after the second admonition, is to be rejected. As we look at what the Bible says, there are different types or different levels of heresy. In Acts chapter 5, verse 17, chapter 15, verse 5, and chapter 26, verse 5, heresy simply means a party or a sect or what we would today call a denomination. It can be just that simple. And in Acts 24:14 and 28:22, it is used in just a slightly derogatory sense, referring to Christians being separatists or sectarians by the more mainstream majority of the Jewish rabbis. Paul used the term heresies to refer to groups which threatened the harmony and unity of the church. In 1 Corinthians 11:19, he said, "For there must be also heresies among you." There must be also heresies among you, that they which are proved may be made manifest among you. The heresies described the disgraceful way in which the Corinthians were observing the Lord's Supper. Paul would sometimes use the term heresy as a source of factions or divisions. And in Galatians 5:20, where he lists the works of the flesh, we're very clearly told that heresy is one of those works of the flesh in that list, along with strife, seditions, and envies. Self is really the key. It's the key word in understanding heresy. Invariably, heretics are people who choose to place their own desires above the fellowship of their brethren, or even the love of the truth as defined by the Word of God. And in Titus chapter 3, verse 10 and 11, we are given direction regarding heretics and how we are to deal with them. And the context of these verses has to do with quarreling and dissensions. The froward person will even invent things to separate brethren from one another. Heresy and factions go together. In God's kingdom, there is no such thing as a little rebellion. Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and obedience is better than sacrifice. In 2 Peter chapter 2, this is where we see the clear difference between heretics and damnable heretics. And we see just exactly what that involves, the difference between simple heretics and damnable heretics. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. The damnable heretic clearly refers to the false teachers or false prophets who deny the truth of the person and work of Messiah. The damnable heretic is one who has left the doctrine of Christ. And we're seeing this happening. It's a sad thing about what's going on today in the Messianic movement. The damnable heretic does not recognize Yeshua, the Messiah, as God, the Son. That's what makes the damnable heretic. The damnable heretic is different from the simple heretic or the Jew in that the damnable heretic has departed from the doctrine of Messiah. Most Jews, because of persecution by the so-called Christians, have never really been exposed to the doctrine of Messiah or the doctrine of the apostles. Most Jews have not departed from the doctrine of Christ. They never have had a chance to hear it. Heresy may have as much to do with fellowship within the church as it does with doctrinal teachings. If the heresy is not damnable heresy, okay? Doctrine and actions are equally important when you deal with the subject of heresy. Wrong attitudes such as counterfeit religious spirits, spirits of rebellion, improper attitudes are as important as the depth of understanding what God has revealed to man. However, when we look at 2 John in verses 7 through 11, we see that we are not even to say God bless you or bid God speed, and most certainly not give substance support to the damnable heretic. In those few verses, we also see precisely what defines the damnable heretic. For many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves, that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Whosoever transgresses and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you, and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is a partaker of his evil deeds. We see that the damnable heretic is one who has departed from the doctrine of Christ, more so than one who had never had the opportunity to know. And tragically, the vast majority of Jews do not know their own glorious Messiah because of how they have been persecuted by so-called Christians under the leadership of the black witchcraft Babylonian religion of Rome. And sadly, the Protestants never protested this and have often followed the lead of the heretic Roman Catholic Church. The vast majority of Roman Catholics have never read the Holy Bible. The vast majority of Roman Catholics are in the same blindness of the pagans, heathen, Hindus, Muslims, and Buddhists, and other religions who are trying to find eternal life in a different way other than the doctrine of Messiah. The damnable heretic is one who has known or had previously professed to know the real Messiah, who is both God and man, who is both Creator and Redeemer, and who now professes a Messiah who is less than fully God and equal with the Father in power, authority, and eternity. The damnable heretic now professes a different Jesus other than the real true Jesus Christ, who is God the Son, the I Am, who spoke to Abraham and Moses, who is both Creator and Redeemer. The damnable heretic professes faith in another Jesus and another gospel. And we get strong warning about this from Paul, too, in Galatians 1, 8 and 9. But though we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than ye have received, let him be accursed. That's strong, what Paul said, and he said it twice, the two witnesses back to back. The damnable heretic is something we do not mess with. We cut him no slack at all. A sad reality today is that within large messianic congregations of over 100, one will generally find a small, covert cell within the congregation who have another Messiah who is not fully God, who is come in the flesh. What they have is the powerful demon religious spirits that go with the ground given by the age-old Arian heresy, which is the classic synagogue of Satan, with which all of the apostles did earnestly contend. In the first century, there were Jewish synagogues that did profess that Yeshua was the Messiah while denying that he was God. And this Hebrew spin of the common Jehovah Witness or Christadelphia heresy is deadly and damnable, and in fact is the classic synagogue of Satan. This is damnable heresy, and we cannot do anything but follow the example of the Spirit-filled apostles and contend as earnestly with all the Holy Ghost boldness and power that he can give us. And that's part of the reason why the simple and yet powerful test of the Spirit is so important, brethren. Just ask them to say Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. And those in the secret name or sacred name heresy groups will find that simple test of the Spirit to be very difficult. And I have yet to see the Satanist that could pass that simple test without great difficulty. And many will say that Yeshua did come in the flesh, or Messiah has come in the flesh. And though that's true, that is still failing the simple test of the Spirit. That is come. That's what's important. That is come is a profession that involves the acknowledgement that Jesus or Yeshua is fully God, the I Am. Present tense, always present tense, God, the I Am, who spoke to Moses, who spoke to Abraham, who is both Creator and Redeemer. If you find some Messianic rabbi today who has the slightest hitch or reluctance to boldly confess that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh, beware. The more you apply that simple test of the Spirit, the more you will be amazed at how effective and powerful that simple test of the Spirit is to remove the sheep's clothing from the wolves. Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. That simple statement will disclose many subtle, damnable heretics in these last days of strong delusion. The Roman Catholic Church has killed and tortured literally millions of Jews and real Christians, people of the book. That's what Muslims call Christians and Jews, by the way, people of the book. Where do you think they got that? From Rome, sure. Rome put Muhammad in the religion business. Nowadays, the Vatican, which put Muhammad in the religion business, tries to maintain a very thick, fluffy sheep's cloak over the Antichrist Luciferian goals of that mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. Sadly, the very vast majority of those in the bondage of the Roman Catholic Church have no idea of the true, bloody, murderous history of that abominable Church of Rome. They remain totally convinced that salvation is by the sacraments of the Roman Church and not by the grace of God through the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this makes the Roman Catholic Inquisition so particularly abhorrent. There is no justification for killing the heretic, since the cross and the establishment of the kingdom of God by the Messiah. The heretic should be rejected, marked, and not given Christian fellowship, but that's the full extent of the duty and power of the kingdom of Messiah. No more serious action was ever to be placed upon the heretic. The Roman Catholic Church still maintains that she has the power to kill those who will not follow Rome's heresies. The Pope has been the preeminent heretic in the world since the first Pope, the Roman Emperor Constantine, who was the first Pope, and his court theologian, don't forget him, Eusebius. And these two set up the Roman Catholic State Church of the Roman Empire in the 4th century. In the 7th century, Rome put the great heretic and false prophet Muhammad in the religion business to kill Jews and Christians, people of the book, as the Quran calls them. It should be no surprise that the Muslims have no great problems with Roman Catholics because they are not people of the book, unlike Jews and real Christians. That is the religion of Islam, to kill and destroy the people of the book. The God of Vatican Rome is the same as the God of Islam and Freemasonry and all the other false religions. It's the same God, and that's what causes the Pope to say that the God of the Roman Catholic Church is the same as the God of Islam. That's what causes a president even to say that the God of Islam is the same as the God of the Christians. No, you'll never find a Muslim that stupid, that ignorant, to say such a thing. And the only way that could be true is if the one who claims to be a Christian, be he Pope or President, his true God is Lucifer. It is right and proper to ask those who seek Christian fellowship, who is the Messiah and how is he related to God? What did Yeshua do in his human life, and how did it come about that the Christian or Messianic believers give him titles belonging to God? That's right and proper for anyone who would be seeking Christian or Messianic fellowship. The cross must be explained. 1 Corinthians 1:18, so important. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. How Yeshua could be the Messiah was a great stumbling block to the Jews, because his death at the hands of the Roman political power stood in direct and obvious contradiction to all that faithful Jews believed about Messiah. The Jews expected Messiah to be glorious and God's expected deliverer of his people. The Jews knew Deuteronomy 21:23, his body shall not remain all night upon the tree, but thou shalt in any wise bury him that day, for he that is hanged is accursed of God. That thy land be not defiled, which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance. The Jew has a very difficult time understanding anyone hanging on a tree who died under God's curse could be their glorious Messiah. It's difficult. And then you add what the history of the Roman Catholic Church has done to those people in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's no wonder they don't know their own glorious Messiah, Yeshua. The answer may be seen in the scriptures, like in Psalm 118:22 or Isaiah 53, what a great place to go, or Micah 5:2, what a tremendous messianic prophecy, and many other messianic prophecies of the Hebrew scriptures. It is not possible to sidestep his direct claims to be the messenger and embodiment of God's kingdom. His resurrection from that death on the cross, however, is the real answer. In the resurrection of Messiah, God had reversed the curse. He had reversed that cursed death verdict, vindicated his son, and installed him in the place of highest honor, power, and authority. The first Christian prayer of which we have any record is simply Maranatha, which means Our Lord Come. That most simple ancient prayer to the risen Lord places him in equality with Yahweh, Israel's covenant God, and worthy of the worship of men and angels. 1 Corinthians 16:22, if any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, Maranatha. If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema. That means be cursed. And they said, even so, come Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Maranatha is in prayer. Our Lord come is what Maranatha means. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Yeshua, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him should not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord is over all, and is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Also, in relation to the most important issue of the faith, who Messiah is and what he accomplished, is that final testimony of the first Christian martyr, Stephen, in Acts chapter 7. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Yeshua standing on the right hand of God, and said, behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet, whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God, saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Hallelujah. This is the shocking and unique message of the one true faith of Abraham. Yes, it is the faith of the one true Messiah, Yeshua, who by his resurrection and enthronement at the right hand of Hashem on the majesty, the highest throne that there is in the third heaven. By his enthronement at the right hand of the majesty on high is proven to be God, the Son, as well as the only Messiah, the Son of Man, who also is God, the Son, is the head of a worldwide kingdom, far outstripping the narrow confines of Jewish hopes. Someday soon, the veil, which still remains over Jewish eyes when Moses is preached, will be removed. Such scriptures as the following will no longer be a stumbling block to the Jews, but it'll become a cause for their greatest rejoicing. Scriptures like Philippians 2, that talked about Messiah, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Colossians chapter 1:15, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. And Titus chapter 2, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Yeshua HaMashiach. In the beginning was the Word, the Logos. In the beginning was the Logos. And the Logos was with God, and the Logos was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, and hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory, and the express image of his person, and the upholding of all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Those words of God, faithfully inspired by the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit of God, as surely as Hashem inspired Moses, do not compromise the belief that the God of Israel is one God. They don't compromise that. Shema Yisrael, Adonai, Eloheinu Adonai, Echad. Echad, not Yaqid. Check it out. Oh, I know Maimonides said it was Yaqid, but you read it. You'll see it's Echad. It's not Yaqid. No, it doesn't compromise the belief that the God of Israel is one God. It doesn't compromise that one iota. The very first verse of the Bible says Elohim. It doesn't say El. It doesn't say Eloah. It says Elohim. Aleph Tav created the heavens and the earth. Yes, the Aleph Tav, Yeshua, Mashiach, the Word of God. He's the one who is the Creator as well as the Redeemer. Oh, and he came as the Redeemer. He came as the Lamb of God, just as Abraham prophesied. And oh, wow, when he comes this time, every eye will see him. Every eye will know him. Hallelujah. The roots of true Christianity are 100% Jewish. 100% Jewish. It was a full 9 years after the crucifixion and resurrection of Messiah, after thousands of Jews had become messianic believers in Yeshua, as the I Am who spoke to Moses and Abraham, that the first Gentile, Cornelius, was admitted into that company of messianic Jewish believers. The Christian or messianic inheritance is 100% Jewish in its roots and remains faithful to the Jewish patriarch's central belief in one God in a world of many false gods. In no way did those early believers in Messiah ever hold the view that Jesus was a rival God in competition with the Father. No way. The worship of the Jewish and Gentile believers in Messiah has always been properly directed to God, who has revealed himself once for all and uniquely in Messiah, the Son, Yeshua, who is both God and man. as well as both Creator and Redeemer. God the Father loves and honors and exalts His only begotten Son. Yeah, He's got many sons. They're called Israel. But He has only one begotten Son. The Messiah mirrors the perfect expression of the divine nature of the Father. Belief in the Jewish Messiah, Yeshua, is the most Jewish belief that any Jew could possibly have. And one day soon, the world will be rocked as God removes the veil from the eyes of Jewish people. And they all, as a nation, look upon Him whom we have all pierced by our sins. It will be exactly as the prophet of Israel, Zechariah, foretold. And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplication. And they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Messiah Yeshua, Adonai, and ourselves your servants for Yeshua's sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Yeshua the Messiah. For now, let's just let it rest to say that there are damnable heretics like Wendell Jones and the Nazarene group and others who are seeking to traffic in the souls of men in the modern messianic movement. And Christians who have been awakened to the truth of Jeremiah 16:19 need to beware as you look into the Jewish roots of the gospel. It's important to demand of any visiting messianic rabbis with unhesitating boldness that they confess Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. And if they do not want to say Jesus Christ, beware. If they will not give a definite and absolute yes to the question, do you believe that Jesus Christ is God? Beware and mark them. And some of these damnable messianic rabbi wolves are very slick and hard to pin down. I know some of them very personally. Demand a yes or no to the simple question, do you believe that Jesus Christ is God the Son, who is both the Creator and Redeemer? Demand it. And tell them, Jesus said, anything more than yes or no comes of evil. So make sure that they answer a definite yes or no. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is God the Son, who is both Creator and Redeemer? They can only have one answer that's acceptable. Yes. No hesitation. No hitch in the get-along. Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua. Praise the Lord Jesus. This is the Great Joy in Great Tribulation Internet Podcasting Network. This is your host, Jim Searcy, reminding you the website for the Great Joy in Great Tribulation website is www.dccsa, that's David Charlie Charlie Sam Alpha, .com, .com/
Great Joy, all one word, all small letters, GREATJOY. At the website, you'll find many things to help the saints scattered abroad build up their most holy faith and grow from faith to faith as we press into this mystery of the ages in this Antichrist war on the saints, reminding you that the King is coming. And our King said, when you see these things come to pass, look up, for your redemption draweth nigh.